Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Moshe Chaim Byron. Maseches Yevamos has been dedicated by Mutti and Hadassah Jacobowitz, Lezecher Nishmas Yaakov Zev ben Repesach Yosef.
Yevamos Daf Lamed Tes. The Gemara continues to discuss the Mishnah on Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. The Gemara had a stira from the Reisha and the Seifa in the Shita of Beis Shammai about the Nechosim that a Shemeres Yevam receives as a Yerusha while she's waiting to have Yivam or Chalitza. The Mishnah on one hand says, Bidas Beis Shammai, that if she inherits Nechosim, then she could do what she wants with them, she could sell them, and the Yovim cannot stop her. On the other hand, the Mishnah says that if she dies, then these Nechosim get divided between the Yorshei HaBaal and the Yorshei HaAv. That would be mashma that the Yovim does have a chelik in these Nechosim. So the Gemara had a number of Tirutzim, and Abaya on the bottom of Lamed Ches Amud Beis says that the Reisha is talking about where she received these Nechosim while she was a Shemeres Yovim. The other thing is that she could sell it, she could do what she wants with it, and the Yavam does not have any chelik in it. The Seifa is talking about nechasim that she brought into the first marriage, the nechasim alug that she brought in, and those nechasim, surely the Baal did have a chelik in them while they were married. And now that he dies, the Yavam takes over the chelik of the first husband, and on those nechasim, Beis Shammai says that if she dies before the Yavam dies, then the nechasim get divided equally between her Yashim and the Yashim of the Baal. Now, on the top of Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, the Gemara says that Abaya holds Yodoy Ki Yoda, meaning the schuyos, the rights that a husband has in the Nechsei Melug that the wife brings into the marriage, the gether is Yodoy Ki Yoda, they have equal rights in those Nechosim. And the Gemara continues, however, that Rava argues on this. Rava holds Yodoy Adifa Mi Yoda, the rights of the husband is greater than the rights of the wife, and therefore Rava says that the Pshat in the Mishnah cannot be talking about Nechosim that she brought into the first marriage. It has to be talking about Nechosim that fell to her while she was a Shemeres Yavam. And Rava goes on to give a different explanation, that the Reisha is talking about a case where there was no Maimer, and the Seifa is talking about a case where there was Maimer. Now there's a Machloikis in the Rishonim how to understand what exactly is the Gemara saying, this Machloikis Abaya and Rava, whether Yodai Ki Yoda or Yodai Adifa Mi Yoda, and how this determines the Pshat in the Mishnah. Now Rashi understands, when the Gemara says, Bedas Abaya, that Abaya holds Yodai Ki Yoda, the Gemara is really referring to the Shita of Beis Hillel. Because the way Abaya explains the Mishnah, the Seifa is talking about the Nechosim that she had in the first marriage. On those Nechosim, Beis Shammai says, Yachloiku, and Beis Hillel holds, those Nechosim are Becheskas Yorshei HaAv, they stay within her family. And on that, the Gemara says, the Pshat in Abaya is, Bedas Beis Hillel, that Yodai Ki Yoda, while she was married to the first husband, these Nechsei Melug had a status of belonging equally to the wife and the husband. And therefore, when the first husband dies and leaves over a Yavam who has a Zika to this woman, so this Zika is not as strong as the connection of the first marriage. And therefore, as far as the Yavam is concerned, Yodai Giriya Miyoda, Rashi says. And therefore, Nechasim Becheskasa, they stay by the Yorshei HaAv, and the Yorshei HaBaal don't get anything. And what does Beis Shammai hold? So Rashi explains, Beis Shammai holds Yodai Adifa Miyoda. By the original marriage, his chelik was stronger than her chelik, and therefore when he dies, and there's only a zika to the Yavam, now we consider the two chalakim equal, Yodai Ki Yoda, and therefore Beis Shammai holds Yachloiku. Now Rava comes and argues on Abaya, and then Machloikus is Bedas Beis Hillel, which is Lahalocha. Rava says, Yodai Adifa Miyoda, his chelik is stronger than her chelik while they were married, and therefore even now that he died, and all we're left is a zika, which is not as strong as the first marriage, still Beis Hillel would not say that the whole Nechosim, all of it goes to the Yorshei HaAv, the Yorshei HaBaal would surely get a chelik in it. And the Lashon of Rashi is, Dibar Maschol de Yodai Adifa Miyoda, Vafilu Beis Hillel Moided de Shakli Yorshei HaBaal bin Nechosim. The Yorshei HaBaal would get some of the Nechosim. The Mashmois of Rashi is that Beis Hillel would hold Yachloiku in this case. The point of Rava is to say that we definitely would not give all the Nechosim to the Yorshei HaAv, the Yorshei HaBaal would get something as well. Since the original marriage was Yodai Adifa Miyoda, then now by the Zika we would say Yoda Ki Yoda, and the din would be Yachloiku. Now the way the Rashba says over Rashi is with a lashon of Nochis Chad Darga, that Abaya and Rava who are arguing whether Yodai Ki Yoda or Yodai Adifa Miyoda, that's actually a machlekes by the first marriage, whether it was Yodai Ki Yoda or Yodai Adifa Miyoda. When we get to the Zika, it goes down one step, and therefore according to Abaya, by the Zika, her chelik would be stronger. That's why Abaya holds Bedas Beis Hillel, that the Yorshei HaAv get all of it. Mashenken, according to Beis Shammai, while they were married, Yodai Adifa Miyoda, and therefore by the Zika, it goes down one darga, and Yodai Ki Yoda, and Beis Shammai holds Yachloiku. And Rava says, no, yodoy adifa mi yodo, and therefore by the zika it goes down one madriga, and it should be yodoy ki yodo, and Beis Hillel should hold yachloiku. From that which we see that Beis Hillel holds, all of it goes to the Yashaya Av, Rava proves from that the Pshat in the Mishnah cannot be talking about nechosim that she had while she was tachas habal, rather it has to be talking about nechosim that fell to her while she was a Shemeres Yavam. And Rav has a different Pshat in the Mishnah. What's the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa? B'das B'shamei. This is Shitas Rashi. And the other Rishonim argue, they quote B'shem the Rif, on the side of the Gemara over here in the Hagoyi Sagra. Also he quotes that the Shita of the Rif argues on Rashi, and he also quotes yet a third Shita, we'll see later, the Shita of the Rambam. The Rif apparently did not want to learn like Rashi that Yodei Ki Yoda or Yodei Adifa Mi Yoda in the Gemara is only referring to the status of the Nechasim while she was married to the first husband, and not the status right now while she has a Zika to the Yavam. The Rif learns not like that. The Rif is actually not here in Yavamus, it's in Ksubis, but other Rishonim over here, the Rashba and the Ramban, in Ar-Sugyo, they quote the Rif. And the Rif explains, B'das Abaya, Yodoy Ki Yoda means to say, since they have an equal share in the Nechasim, Nechasim that she brought into the marriage, the Baal and the Isha are equal, and therefore the Rif says, just like if she dies, Nisroiken Zchusa Itzel Habal, her chelik gets transferred over to the chelik of the Baal, and the Baal has the entire Yerusha, so too if the husband dies, Nisreken Zchusai Eitzel Isha, his chelik gets transferred over to her, and she gets all of the Nechasin. Now over here, in the case where she falls to Yibam, and there's a Zika to the Yavam, so the Machoikas Beishami and Beisil really is, how do we consider the status of this Yavam? Do we consider him taking over the rights of the Baal and these Nechasin? Beishami holds that it's a Sofik whether the Yavam has these chusim, and therefore when she dies, it's a sofik if the Yavam should get these nechosim, therefore the din is yachloiku. But al-Kopanim, the pshat in the din yachloiku, according to Beis Shammai, the way these Rishonim understand, is not the pshat because since yodei ki yoda, therefore they get an equal share. That's the way Rashi learned. Rashi learned yodei ki yoda would be a reason why they should divide it equally. According to these Rishonim, yodei ki yoda would be a reason why if she dies, the Yavam should get everything. Just like if the husband dies, she gets his chelik, so too if she dies, the husband should get the chelik. And the question just is, if the Yavam should take the place of the Baal or not, since that's a suffix, therefore the din is yachloiku. And what does Beis Hillel hold? Beis Hillel is masking that yodei ki yoda, just he holds that the Yavam does not take the place of the Baal, and therefore the nechosim all go to the Yarshei Ha'av. According to these Rishonim, there's no machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel about yodei ki yoda or not, as opposed to Shitas Rashi. Rashi understood when Abaye says yodei ki yoda, that's only B'das Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai holds yodei adifa mi yoda. According to these Rishonim, when Abaye says yodei ki yoda, that's lekuli alma, that's not what the machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is about. Now what does Rava hold according to these Rishonim? Rava holds yodei adifa mi yoda. According to the Rif, this means that in certain cases, yodei adifa mi yoda, meaning, even though always when she dies, her chelik goes over to the Baal, when the Baal dies, not always does his chelik go over to the Isha, rather when there is a Yavam, in the case of Zikas Yibum, there the Yavam takes the place of the Baal. And since the Yavam now is instead of the Baal, so when she dies afterwards, the Yavam will get her chelik. According to this, the Yerushalayim say, Yoda Adifa Miyoda means, specifically Legabe this case, Le'inyin Zeh, Legabe this case of Zikas Yibum, there Yoda Adifa Miyoda, and there the din is that the Yavam will get all of the Nechasim. Now here there's another difference between Rashi and the Rif. According to Rashi, when Rava came to argue and says, Yoda Adifa Mi Yoda, Rashi explained it to mean that therefore Shemeres Yavam would go down one step and it would be Yoda Ki Yoda and they would divide the Nechasim equally. According to the Rif, Yoda Adifa Mi Yoda B'das Rava means that the Yoshe Av would get everything. And L'maisa, it's actually a Shaila LaHalacha, since we passing like Rava and we passing like Beis Hillel, so according to Rashi, if she had nechasim from the first marriage, and then she dies while she's a Shemeres Yavam, the din would be Yachloiku Yoshe Av and Yoshe Yabal. According to the Rif, the Yoshe Av would get everything. Now, I've just mentioned briefly the Shita of the Rambam, a third Shita, in Perichov Bey Zochas Ishus, Halacha Yud. He paskins the din of the Mishnah, obviously he paskins like Beis Hillel, and he says that Shemeres Yavam Shemesa, so the Nichse Melug goes to the Yoshe Av. The Yoshe Abal get the Ksuba, and the Nechsei Tzayim Barzel, the Rambam Paskins, B'das Beis Hillel, that they divided equally. This we spoke about in the previous year. What exactly is the din of the Nechsei Tzayim Barzel according to Beis Hillel? But HaKopan, the Rambam makes no mention of any difference between the chasim shenaflu lo kishi yitacht of the baal and the chasim shenaflu lo kishi shemeres yavam. And l'chair, according to what Rava says over here in our Gemara, that as far as nechasim shenaflu lo kishi yitacht of the baal, there we say yada adifa mi yada. So we had a machlokes Rashi and Rishonim. According to Rashi, it means that they'll divide them equally. According to Rishonim, the Yerusha Baal will get everything. But the Rambam is mashma, even in this case, in the Chosim, Kshenafla, Kshitacht of the Baal, even over there, the din is that the Yerusha Av get everything. Nachar, how does this fit with the Shita of Rava and Er Sugya? And the Gro over here, when he quotes the Shita of the Rambam, he explains that the Rambam learned the Shakal Vatayah and Er Sugya, the Machlokes Abaya and Rava. That's all B'das Beis Shammai and not B'das Beis Hillel. And the Ramban as well, he quotes the Rambam and he says, the Rambam learned Er Sugya, the Machlokes Abaya of Rava was only in Beis Shammai, not according to Beis Hillel. And he explains that Abaya came to say Pshat in Beis Shammai that Zikas Nesua Oysa Sofik Nesua. Zika is considered a Matzav of Sofik Lagabe the Dinam of the Nechasim, and therefore Abaya says that in the Reisha of the Mishnah, when the Nechasim fell to her while she was a Shemeres Yavam, we consider these Nechasim Becheskas the Yerusha Av, and therefore the Yavam would have to bring a Raya that he has a Chelik in them. Therefore, in the Reish Ladin is Mecheres, when he said his Vikayam, she could do what she wants with these Nechasim. The Seif is talking about Nechasim that fell to her while she was married to the first husband, and since it's a Safik, if the Yavam has the Schusim that the husband would have had, therefore the Din is Yachloiku. But that's all B'das Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel holds that the Din is that Zikas Nesua does not give a Din of a Nesua Lagabi the Nechasim. And therefore, the Gabbai the Nichsei Melug, Beis Hillel holds its Becheskas Yerusha Av. Now, when Rava came to argue on Abaya, he was only arguing B'das Beis Shammai. He says that if you hold that Zikas Nesua Oysa Safik Nesua, then the Din would be that Beis Shammai would not say that the Din of the Nichsei Melug is Yachloiku. Rather, we would all go to the Yerusha Baal. Since Yada Adifa Mi Yada, he would be considered more of a Muchzik, and in the case of a Safik, he would get all of the Nechasin. That's all B'das Beis Shammai who holds that the Zika makes a Safik. However, B'das Beis Hillel, that the Zika does not even give a din of a Safik regarding the Nechasim. And even if Yoda Yadifa Mi Yoda, that's as far as the Baal is concerned, but here, by the Yavam, he definitely has no rights in these Nechasim, the Yerusha Av would get everything. So B'kitzer, the Machlokes Abaya V'Rava is only B'das Beis Shammai, and therefore the Maisa that we hold like Beis Hillel, there's no difference between Nechasim Shenafla Kashish Shemeres Yavam, or if it was Nafla, Kishi Tacht of the Baal, either way the Din is, the Nichsei Melug goes all to the Yerusha Av. That's why the Rambam, La Locha, does not differentiate when she got the Nechasim, whether she got it while she was a Shemeres Yavam, or she got it Tachas HaBaal. So just to summarize, we have three Shitas B'das Rava, which is Halacha L'Maisa. What's the Din as far as the Nichsei Melug that she got Tachas HaBaal? According to Rashi, the Din would be that Yachleiku. Since B'derech Klal, a married woman, is Yodai Adifa Mi Yoda, and here by Azika, it's Yodai Ki Yoda, and therefore the Din is Yachloiku. According to the Rif, when Rava says Yodai Adifa Mi Yoda, it means in this case, by Azika Siyibum, the Yerusha Baal will get everything. And according to the Rambam, Halacha L'maisa, there's no difference between the Chosim that she got while she was a Shemeres Yavam, or the Chosim that she got Tachas HaBaal. And Abaya and Rava were talking only with Aspei Shammai, but according to Beis Hillel, the Yerusha Av get everything. Now, b'hamshach ha-gemara, the Gemara quotes the Lashon of the Mishnah, Kansa harei ke'ishtoi l'chol davar. The Gemara says, L'mai hilchasa, Amar Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina, loimar shemegarsha beget u'machzira. And the Gemara is mevur that there are two chidushim over here. Firstly, one might think that even after he already did Yibum, if afterwards he wants to be megarsha, he may still need chalitza. Since the Lashon of the Pasuk is v'locha loy le'isha v'yibma, the Torah still calls her a Yavama even after Yibam is done already, Adayin Yavumi HaRishayim Aleha, and therefore one would think that she still needs Chalitza afterwards if he wants to be Megarasher. That's why the Mishnah tells us that it's Ke'ishtoi, meaning he could be Megarasher with a Ged, he does not have to do Chalitza. And secondly, Shemachzira, that it's Ke'ishtoi, meaning that if he's Megarasher, he could take her back. The Gemara says that there would have been a Havmina to say, Mitzvah derangi rachmana alei ovdo, hashto tekem aleha be'isr eishes ach. Once the mitzvah is done with already, and he's megarasher, he cannot take her back, kamash malon. And that the Gemara asks, ve'im hochanami. Now Rashi explains, akula milsakoi. When the Gemara asks, im hochanami, the Gemara is asking on both dinim. Firstly, that which she could be megarash beget and not chalitza. And second, that which she could take her back after gerushin. The Gemara asks, maybe both of these dinim really are not true. Maybe he should have to be megarasher with chalitza, and he cannot take her back afterwards. And that the Gemara brings a pasuk, v'locha leila isha, kibon shelocha harik ishta lechol dover. According to Rashi, this actually tells us both dinim, that he could be megarish beget, and also that she megarish umachzira. There's a Tosis in Ksubis, daf pei beitz amar aleph, dibar of maschal v'yibma. He learns not like this, he learns that the Gemara is only proving from this pasuk, that which megarish beget umachzira. The Gemara is not bringing this pasuk as a makar to the first din, that if he wants to be Megarasher after he does Yibam, that he does not need Chalitza, that is not included in the Gemara's Kasha over here, Ve'ema Ochanami, and that would not be learned out of this Pasuk of Elocha Leila Isha, that Nasa Ki Ishtay L'chol Dover. Now, Rav Nochem Pertzovitz, in the Chedusha Rav Nochem, Ois Kuf Yud Gimel, he asks an interesting Kasha over here. The way Rashi learns the Gemara's Kasha, Ve'ema Ochanami, that the Gemara is asking two things. Firstly, that even after Yibam, if he wants to be Megarasher, he should need Chalitza. And secondly, that if he's Megarasher, he should not be able to take her back. He asks that these two kashas seem to be contradictory. They seem to be soyser one another. Because if the din would be that after he's Megarasher, he would no longer be allowed to take her back, in other words, there would still be an Isra of Eishes Ach, like the Gemara says, once the mitzvah is done, then there's no longer a heter for the Isra of Eishes Ach, then you cannot also ask at the same time that get alone should not be enough, he should have to do Chalitza. Because if you would actually go and give her a get, and now the din would be that he's not allowed to take her back, there would be an Isser Eishes Ach, then she'd be an Erva. And just like all Arayis Pater from Yibam and Chalitza, this Erva itself, the Erva of Eishes Ach, which comes back now that she already finished the mitzvah of Yibam, this is what's preventing him from taking her back again after the Gerushin. This should be like any other Erva, any Arayis which have a din Kares. The din is that Pater's from Yibam and Chalitza. So once this Eishes Ach comes back, that itself should be a reason why she should be parted from Chalitza. How could the Gemara be asking at the same time that a get alone should not be enough, she should need Chalitza as well? Once he gives the get, she's now an Erva, that itself should be a reason why she should not need Chalitza. Now the truth is, this would seem to bring us back to the question which we spoke about on Daf Lamed Vav, about an Erva of Eishes Ach de Memela. Meaning a Yevama, who the only Erva that she is the Erva of Eishes Ach, meaning that really she fell to Yibam, and the Eishes Ach b'derech klal has a heter. She does not have a heter for her Isser Eishes Ach, because there's no mitzvah for whatever reason. So there's a discussion in the Achronim, we said from Reb Chaim over there, that perhaps over here, even though she does have an Isser of Eishes Ach, and l'chair she should be no different than any other Erva, where the din is that the Erva patters from Yibam and from Chalitza, but here where the only Erva that she is Eishes Ach, and that b'derech klal is mutter b'mokam yibum, it's a mitzvah even b'mokam yibum. So here, when there's no mitzvah for whatever reason, or l'chayr hu adin er shayla, when there's no mitzvah because the mitzvah has been done already, then the shayla is, does this erva of Eishes Ach also have a din to pater from yibum and from chalitza like all the other arayis? Reb Chaim proved that the erva of Eishes Ach is different than all other arayis, and will not pater the tzara, or will not pater her herself from chalitza. And therefore here as well, even in this havamina, that after one was Mekayim Yibam, and then was Megarasher, then the Erva of Eishes Ach comes back, and Reb Nochem asked, if it comes back, then what should be the Havmina that she should still need Chalitza? The answer would be that this Erva of Eishes Ach, which comes back after there's no longer a mitzvah, that would be different than all other Arayis, and it would not be able to pater her from Chalitza. L'maiser, Reb Nochem himself gives a different tarot to his Kasha, and he says, since, like the Gemara says in Daf Chof, the Makar to say that Arayis, which are not oil liyibum, the din is that they do not need chalitza either, is because of kol she'ena oil liyibum, ena oil lechalitza. Since an erva does not have a zika to do yibum, she does not need chalitza as well. Rav Nachum says that would not apply in this case. In this case, where she actually did have a zika from yibum, and her yibum was already done, and the only reason why he cannot take her back again now is because the mitzvah is over. And therefore, she once again becomes aser with the erva of Eishes Ach. Here, the klal of Eina Oila Leyibam, Eina Oila Lechalitza would not apply. Because it's not that she doesn't need Yibam, it's that she already had Yibam. So if there would be such a Havamina, that after Yibam she would still need Chalitza, here we would not say that the fact that she's an Erev of Eishes Ach, that she's pater from Chalitza, since that which all Arayis is pater from Chalitza is only based on the klal of Kol She'Eina Oila Leyibam, Eina Oila Lechalitza, and that would not apply over here, so this would not be a reason to be pater from Chalitza, the Gemara could still have a Havamina that she should need Chalitza. Now another point we should mention over here, the Gemara had a Havmina to say that once the mitzvah is done, and then he's Megarasher, he should not be able to take her back. We should mention over here, Tosfos on Daf Ches Amud Beis, he says the Mashmais of the Gemara is that there's a Havmina only after he's Megarasher, then he should not be able to take her back. But L'chayr Tosfos asked, once he did the first Bia, then also the mitzvah has been done already, and what should be matter of the second bia? Why don't we have the same havamina that after the first bia, the mitzvah is over with already, and therefore you should now be usher to her with the isra of Eishes Ach. And Tosfos over there says, Chasam Abayz Dira Mascha Melamed Shemegarsha, that for the second bia, that we don't need a pasuk. That he says is a svara, that the Torah would not have said Yevama Yovya Leha if immediately afterwards he'll have to be Megarsher. From that itself, which the Torah gave a mitzvah of Yibum, that also tells us that not only will the first bia be mutter, any subsequent bia will also be mutter. There's only a havmina that after he's Megarsher, there the Torah will not allow him to take her back, and we need the pasuk of Vilakacha Leila Isha to tell us that Nasik Ishtay Lechol Dover. Now we'll mention one more point on this Gemara. There's a kasha that the Achronim, Rabbi Chanan and the Kibbutz Aris, as well as the Imri Moshe, they asked from this Gemara a kasha on the Shitas HaRashba. There's a chiddush from the Rashba which comes up a number of times in Yevamos, and the Imri Moshe says this is the Shita of the Rambam as well, and that is they hold that once a woman falls to Yibum, and at the time of the Nefila LeYibum there's a heter for the Isra Eishes Ach which is matter her to do Yibum, then the Isra Eishes Ach can never come back again. The case that the Rashba is talking about, we'll see more about it on Daf Mem Aleph, is the case of Hutra, V'Nestra, V'Chozra, V'Hutra. And the Gemara says, Tachsir Lehetera Harishayna. Meaning to say, if there's a Nefila L'Yibam, one brother dies and the other brother has a Heter to do Yibam, there's no Isser Eishes Ach because it's B'Mokai Mitzvah, then afterwards the brother who's still alive, the Yavam, he goes and is Mekadish, the sister of the Yavama. So now at this moment, Yivama becomes Aser, she's Achos Ishtai, it's an Erva Sheyesh Bakaris, and there's no Heter even B'mokim Yibam. However, afterwards, the second sister, the one that Yavam was Mekadesh, she dies, and the din is that Achos Isha is Mutter La'achar Misa, so the Yivama now once again becomes Mutter to the Yavam. And there's Machoikis in the Gemara over there, if we say Tachzer La'Teira Rishayna, if the Yavam could once again do Yibam on the Yivama, this is what's called Hutra V'Nesra V'Chosra V'Hutra. In the beginning she was mutter, then she became usser. Now the question is, does she become mutter once again? Now the shita of the Rashba over there is that since there was a point in time when there was no heter to do Yibam, at that moment the mitzvah of Yibam falls off and there's no zika bichlal, and even after the second sister, one that the oven was mekadesh, after she dies, the Rashba says there's surely no longer a mitzvah Yibam, there's no zika anymore. The zika cannot come back once it was gone already. Yet still there is a man Amar, and this is how we pass in Lamaisa, that Hutra V'Nestra V'Chozer V'Hutra, Tachzer La'Teiru HaRishayna, the Yavam could go and get married to the Yavama. And the Rashba explains, the Pshat of the Gemara means, not that he's doing Mitzvah Yibam. There's definitely no Zika and there's no Mitzvah Yibam. So why could the Yavam get married to her? L'chari to Eishes Ach, and there's no Heter, there's no Mitzvah here. And the Rashba explains that once she was Hutra B'Shas Nefila, the Isra Eishes Ach comes off, and now, even if later there's no mitzvah bichlal, he could go and marry her, not as Yibam, just as a regular marriage. There's no Isser Eishes Ach over here, since B'shas Misa, of the first brother, the Eishes Ach came off, it will never come back again, and therefore he's mutter to her, even if he's not doing the mitzvah of Yibam. This is the Shita of the Rashba, and the Achronim ask, that L'chira, this doesn't fit with Ersugya. Ersugya is Mavur, that there's a Havmina to say that after he did Yibam, and then he was Megarasher, since the mitzvah is over with, he can no longer take her back. What isser would there be to take her back again? Obviously it means the isser of Eishes Ach. And even that, the Gemara says, the reason why l'maisa it's mutter is because we learn from a pasuk that once he did Yibum, nasik ishtei l'chol dover, and then the isser Eishes Ach will not come back, even if he was megarasher. But that's only if l'maisa he did Yibum. Then the Torah says, nasik ishtei l'chol dover. But we see from here that if he would not do Yibum, then the isser Eishes Ach remains, even though it was mutter, B'shas Miso, because of the mitzvah of Yibum, but it doesn't mean the Isra Eishes Ach goes away. And therefore, if the mitzvah no longer is applicable, and he definitely will be usher to her because of the Isra Eishes Ach. And so too in the case of the Rashba, the same thing should be true if the Rashba says that in the case of Hutra V'Nesra, so after the Isra, there no longer is a mitzvah Yibum, even if she becomes mutter to him again, if there's no mitzvah, then he should be usher to her with the Isra Eishes Ach. Ergamar is a raya, and even if B'shas Miso, there's a heter to the Isra Eishes Ach, because of the mitzvah of Yibum, that doesn't mean that in all circumstances the Eishes Ach will never apply. This is the kasha of the Achronim. One can take a look in the Kibbutz Aris, Simen Aleph, Ois Ches, and in Simen Vav, Ois Tes, as well as the Imri Moshe, Simen Hey, Ois Tes Zayin. They discuss this kasha, and they try to be madchik, but there's no simple way out from this kasha. Now move on. The Gemara now quotes the end of the Mishnah. Ubavacha take subasa al nichse baila harishaina. The Gemara explains, my time, isha hiknu lay min ha-shamayim. This is not like a regular wife. It's a wife that he got from Shemayim, therefore he does not have the regular chiyuvim of a ksuba. However, the Gemara continues, v'ilesla min ha-rishayin tekinu lamisheni kadei shaloi tehikala be'inov lo-hoitziya. Even though really the chiyuv ksuba is on the first husband, and therefore she'll collect from the nechasim of the first husband, if there are no nechasim from the first husband, then the Rabbanan did say that the second husband, the Yavam, has to pay the ksuba from his nechasim, in order that he should not be too quick to divorce her. Meaning if there are no nechasim from the first husband, and he would not have to pay the ksuba from his own nechasim, and he has nothing to lose by being megarasher, he doesn't have to pay any ksuba, and we don't want that, so the Rabbanan were mechayiv him to pay the ksuba from his own nechasim. Now Tosis over here, the Ramaschal Isha Hiknu Lai Min HaShemayim, Tosis asks an obvious kasha, he's bothered by if anyways the din is that the Yavam, he gets all the nechasim of the first husband as the Yerusha, then what's the difference if you say that the Ikar Chiyuv, the Shibud, is on the nechasim of the first husband or on the second husband? Either way, the Yavam is going to have to pay the ksuba from the nechasim that he now has. Since, like the Gemara says, that if there are no nechasim from the first husband, so he's going to have to pay from his own nechasim, so what difference does it make that which the Mishnah says that ksubos are nechse bayil harishon, like the Gemara explains, because isha hiknu lay min ha-shamayim, what practical nafkamina does that make? Either way, the Yavam is going to end up paying the ksuba. And at first, Tosis wanted to answer that there'll be nafkamina in a case where the first husband, before he died, he sold karkois that were meshubit to her ksuba. Now after he dies, there are no longer nechasim b'nei chayrin for him to give over as a Yerusha to the Yavam. Now afterwards, when the Yavam is megarasher, since the Yavam does have his own nechasim, so if the din would be that the shibud ksuba would be on the Yavam, then he would have to give her from his own b'nei chayrin, and we would not go and collect the nechasim that were sold from the first husband. But since the din is that isha hiknu lay min ha-shamayim and the ikur shibud is on the first husband, so she cannot come and ask the Yavam from his own b'nei chayrin, she would have to go and collect her ksuba from the lekuchis, the ones who bought the karkois of the first husband. In other words, that which the Gemara says, ilesla min ha-risha and tekinu la misheni, that's only if there are no nechasim from the first husband, meaning no b'nei chayrin and no mishubadim. If there are no nechasim b'chlal, then she can go and collect from the second husband. But if there are nechasim, even if they have been sold already, and she would have to go and collect them from the lekuchas, and she would not be able to ask for the nechasim of the Yavam, which are b'nei chayim. Now here already there is a revach, there is a gain for the Yavam from the din of isha hiknu lay min ha-shamayim. Because those nechasim which have been sold already by the first husband before he died, the Yavam would never have got those nechasim as a Yerusha, and he would have had to pay the ksuba from his own nechasim. Now there's a din of isha hiknu lay min ha-shamayim that the ksuba is on the first husband, so he gains, he doesn't have to pay the ksuba, she goes and collects the karka that was sold by the first husband. However, Tosis asks that if this din would be true, then there would still be a problem of kala be'inov lo'itziya. If in this case where there's karka that's sold to the lekuchis, she would not be able to ask the ksuba from the Yavam, then the Yavam would have nothing to lose by being megarasher, he's not going to have any financial loss. He doesn't have to pay the ksuba, she collects the ksuba from the lekuchis of the first husband, and that's karka which the Yavam would never have gotten as a Yerusha, so he has nothing to lose by being Megarasher. So what did the Chacham accomplish? In this case, it's still Kala Be'in of Loitziya. And therefore, Tosfos says that surely the din in this case would be that she could collect from the B'nei Chayrin of the Yavam, and we would not send her to the Lekuchas of the first husband. And therefore, again, the Kasha comes back. What does the Yavam gain by the din of Obavachet Eksubasa Nechsei Bail HaRishayim? And Tosfos gives two terutzim, two nafkaminas. The first nafkamina, Tosfos says, in a case where the Yavam receives karkois from the mace, and he also has his own karkois. Now the din is that he could go and sell his karka, since at this time there is karka available for her to collect her ksuba, karka that the Yavam got from the mace. And therefore in this case there'll be no shibud on the karka that's sold by the Yavam. At the time he sells it, he's allowed to sell it, and there's other available karka, so that karka that's sold has no shibud for her ksuba. And therefore even if later something happens to the karka which was left over from the first brother, it got flooded and is now worthless, now she can no longer be geiva, collect her ksuba from those karkois that the Yavam sold, since at the time they were sold, there was no shibud on them, because at that time there still was available karka from the mace. And therefore in this case, she will not be able to collect her ksuba. This is a nafkamina from that which we say that ksuba sa nechse bayil harishayin, And it means to say that the shibud on the yavam only begins after there are no longer any karka from the first brother to collect from. As long as there is karka available, then the shibud has not yet been chal on the nechosim of the yavam, and he could sell karka, and there will be no shibud on that karka. She will not be able to collect from it, even if later there no longer is available any nechosim from the mace. If the din would have been that there is a shibud on the yavam, if we would not say isha hikla min hashamayim, then all his nechosim is meshubud. And even if he sells some karka, and at that moment there's other karka available for her to collect from, still if eventually the other karka gets ruined, she could always go back and collect the karka which was sold earlier. But now that this din is isha hikla min hashamayim, the shibud only begins after there no longer is karka from the mace. A second teres tesis gives is that there'll be an afkamina in a case where at the time the yavam was megarisher, there was still karka available from the original husband. Then the din would be that even if she did not yet collect this karka, and eventually that karka was ruined, in this case she will not be able to collect anything from the yavam. Since at the time of gerishin, no chiyuv was chal on the nechasim of the yavam, because at that moment there was still nechasim available from the first husband, then the chiyuv will never be chal on the yavam, and she will not be able to collect from him even if he has bnei chayr and even if he has karka available. In other words, the din of isha hikla min hashamayim, that the ksuba is al nechse bayla harishin, according to the second teretz of Taisis, means that at the time of gerishin, if at that moment there's nothing to collect from her first husband, then the Torah was mechayev, the yavam, to pay the ksuba from his own nechasin. If there was something available at that time, then the Torah was never mishabed the yavam to pay from his nechasin. Therefore, even if eventually the karka of the first husband will be ruined, the yavam is potter, he will not have to pay her anything for her ksuba. So Bekitzer, the shita of Taisis is that really the nechasim of the yavam are meshubit to pay the ksuba of the first husband. That's the takana of Kadesh Loitei Kala Be'ina of Lahitziya. That his nechasim should also be meshubit to pay the ksuba of the first husband. And Taisis says that there still is one of two nafkaminas, either in the case where the yavam, at the time he sold his nechasim, there was still nechasim available from the first husband, so those nechasim that have sold already, they will not be meshubit. In other words, the shibud only begins after the nechasim of the first husband are not here b'chlal. Or, in the second teretz, Tosfos says it depends on the time of gerushin. If at the time of gerushin there are nechasim available from the first husband, then the nechasim of the second husband will not be meshubit. Now, we'll take a look at the Rambam. The Rambam seems to have a whole different pshat in understanding this Gemara. The Rambam is in Perek Chav Beis, Hilchos Isha, Salocha, Yud Dalid. The Rambam says, Yivama shaloi hoisele ksuba, Oishem moch leksubasa. A Yivama that for some reason never had a ksuba, or she was meichel the ksuba, she patterned her first husband from paying her any ksuba. So there the Rambam says that all the nechasim that the Yavam gets from the first husband, as a Yerusha, he could do what he wants with those nechasim because there's no shibud. Those nechasim are not meshubud to pay the ksuba. However, the Rambam continues, ukeshe yichnes es yivimtoy, yichtav le ksuba meyav, yiyu ko nechasav achroin le ksubasa, keshar ka anoshem sheyesh lehem ksuba. At the time he does Yibam, since she has no ksuba from the first husband, so then the Yavam has to write her a ksuba, just like any other husband writes a ksuba for his wife. The Rambam is understanding our Gemara, that which the Gemara says, Iles la min harishon, tekinu la misheni, kadesh loy tehe kal beinav loy tziya. The Gemara means to say that if she has no ksuba bechlal, the first husband never wrote her a ksuba, if she was meichel the ksuba, then the chacham were mechayev the second husband to write a ksuba. This is the lashon of the Mechaber as well, in Simon Kuf Samaches, Sif Ches, he quotes the Lashon of the Rambam, and in the Bir HaGro over there, he quotes that the Mechaber is like the Rambam, and the Rambam had this pshat, a different pshat in the Gemara, what it means, Ilesta min harishon tekinu la misheni. Ilesta min harishon means, according to the Rambam, that there is no ksuba bechlal, that's where the Chacham were mechayev the Yavam to write her a ksuba. And according to this, L'chayr, the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch would hold that the nechasim of the second husband surely are not meshubit to the ksuba of the first husband. As long as there is a ksuba of the first husband, and the chiyuv ksuba is on the first husband, and on any nechasim that he leaves over, that's meshubit to his ksuba. But there's no shibud on the second husband. That which the Gemara says, yiles la min harishon, tekinu la misheni, is not the way Tosfos understood, that yiles la min harishon if there's no nechasim left from the first husband, so the chacham were meshabed the nechasim of the second husband to pay up the ksuba that the first husband wrote. Rather, it means if there is no ksuba bechlal of the first husband, then the second husband has to write the ksuba. But as long as there is a ksuba from the first husband, then according to the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, the nechasim of the second husband would not be mishubit to pay up the ksuba of the first husband. Now, the Tosfos Hashanim over here in Ois Aleph, he seems to be coming to answer the same kasha that Tosfos asked, What difference does it make that which the Mishnah says that the ksuba is al nichsei bay laharishain because isha hiklaim in a shemayim? Either way, like the Gemara says, yiles lamin harishain tekinu lamishaini. So either way, the yavim is going to end up paying the ksuba. So what nafkamina is there? And he says b'shem the sar that that which she says isha hiklaim in a shemayim is a reason why she does not get two ksubas. There's a half minute to say that the yavim has to give her one ksuba from her first husband, whose nechasim were ready meshuba to pay her the ksuba, and a second ksuba, his own ksuba, since now she's his wife, ve'in isha b'loy ksuba, there's no such thing as a marriage without a ksuba, he should have to give her a second ksuba. On that, the Gemara said, isha hikulay min ha-shamayim, the Torah allowed him to have a marriage without being mechayiv himself in another ksuba. She only gets the ksuba of the first husband, and that, the Gemara continues, yiles la min ha-rishayin, tekinu la mishayini, meaning, if she's not going to get a ksuba from the first husband, then the chacham were mechayev of the second husband, the yavam, to write her a ksuba. Kadei shloite ikala be'inav loitzia. According to the Tosfos Hashanim, tekinu la mishayini means they were mesaken that he should write her a ksuba. The same as we would have said without the svara of isha hikulay min ha-shamayim, that she's like any other wife whose husband writes to her a ksuba. Here the yavam also would write her a ksuba, but derecha we say that he doesn't have to isha hikulay min ha-shamayim. But if there's no ksuba from the first husband, then he does have to write her a ksuba. Now the sheet of the Rambam would fit very well with this Tosfos Hashanim. Like we explained, Badasa Rambam, Iles la min harishayin, tekinu la misheini, does not mean the way Tosfos understands that if there's no nechashim for her to collect from, so then they are misakin that the nechashim of the yavim should also be meshubid to the ksuba of the first husband. Rather, Rambam understood, Iles la min harishayin, if there is no ksuba bechlal, then the chacham or mechayver in a ksuba. That fits with the Tosfos Hashanim, that the nidin in the sugya was, does the yavim have to write her a ksuba or not? There was no havamina, there was no discussion whether his nechasim should be meshubid to the ksuba of the first husband. The question just was whether the yavim has to write his own ksuba. Without the svar of isha hiknulei min ha-shamayim, the Tosfos Hashanim says, he would write his own ksuba, and enech naimi she would have two ksubas. Now that we have isha hiklaim in ha-shamayim, he does not have to write a second ksuba, but still the Gemara says, iles la min ha-rishayin, if there's no ksuba bechlal from the first husband, like the Rambam says, then takinu la misheini, then the second husband does have to write a ksuba. Both the Rambam and the Tosfos Hashanim seem to understand the same way, that the discussion in the sugya is whether he has to write his own ksuba, not whether his nechasim should be mishubid to the first husband's ksuba. Tosfos, however, understood that there's no question that he should have to write a second ksuba. Tosfos Zachar understood that since the Yavim is taking over the wife of the first husband, it's like a hemshich of the ishus of the first husband, so surely the first husband's ksuba should be enough. There's no tzad that he should have to write his own ksuba. And the question in the sugya just is the nechasim of the second husband meshubit to the first husband's ksuba? Or is the shivud only on the nechasim of the first husband? That the Gemara says, isha hiknulei min ha-shamayim, he does not have to be meshabit his nechasim to the first husband's ksuba. However, iles la min ha-rishayin, if there's no nechasim for her to collect from the first husband, then the Rabbanon said that in order kadesh loy tahei kala b'einav loy tziya, they were meshaber the second husband's nechasim to pay the first husband's ksuba. Now if we just take a look at Rashi, Rashi kepshutai understood al derech Tosfos, Rashi di Ramascha min ha-shamayim, he says, the Torah was not meshaber the nechasim of the Yavam to pay the first husband's ksuba. The mashmois of Rashi is that there's no tzad that he should have to write his own ksuba, the question just is about being meshaber his nechasim to the first husband's ksuba. And Rashi again at the Ramaschav Ilesla min ha-rishayin, he does not say like the Rambam that the case he's talking about there never was a ksuba or she was meichel the ksuba. Rather, it means that there's no nechasim for her to collect from. However, with l'chayr, we can make a fine diak in Rashi. Rashi says that isha hiklaim min ha-shamayim tells us that he could sell his own nechasim, they're not meshuba to the ksuba. And the only time they are is ilesla mi-rishayin, the lashon of Rashi is deles le nechasim, meaning the first husband has no nechasim. The mashmois of Rashi is, and this is even more clear in the Nemukei Yosef, that iles la merishayin tekinu la misheini means, if at the time the Yavam does Yibum, there are no nechasim from the first husband, then the Rabbanon were mechayev him to be meshabit his nechasim to the ksuba of the first husband. In other words, it's totally at the time of Yibum. Rashi's mashma that b'derech klal, his nechasim are not meshubit b'klal, he could do what he wants with them, they're not meshubit to the ksuba. The only time they are meshubit is if lesli nechasim, if the first husband did not have nechasim, which l'chayr means to say at the time of Yibum there are no nechasim around, either he never had nechasim or they're gone by the time the Yavim does Yibum, then the chacham or mechayev the second husband to be meshabed his nechasim to the ksuba. But if there were nechasim around from the first husband, then the nechasim of the Yavim is not meshuvid bechlal. One can take a look at the lashon of the Nemukei Yosef, Both Rashi and the Nebuk Yosef are not mashmim like Tosfos, surely not like Tosfos in his second teretz, who holds that really the nechashim of the second husband are meshubid. The only nafkamina would be in the case where at the time of Gerushin, there were nechashim still around from the first husband. In that case, there's no shibud on the nechashim of the second husband. And according to the first teretz of Tosfos, it's dependent at the time the second husband wants to sell his nechashim. If at that moment there are still nechashim available from the first husband, then he could sell his own nechashim and they are not meshubid. Rashi and the Nebuk Yosef are not mashmim like this. They don't say any difference whether at the time the second husband wants to sell the nechashim, are there still available nechashim of the first husband or not. Rather, they are mashmim et toli, at the time he wants to do yibum, at that time are there nechashim around from the first husband? If there are, then those nechashim are meshubid, and the nechashim of the second husband will not become meshubid. If there are no nechashim around at the time of yibum, then the chacham were mesaken that the nechashim of the second husband should be meshubid. But as far as the machlokes between Tosfos versus the Rambam and Tosfos Hashanim, when we say takinu l'misheni, do we mean to write a new ksuba, or does it just mean to be meshavet his nechashim to the first ksuba? There, Rashi and the Nebuk Yosef definitely hold like Tosfos. We're not talking about him writing a second ksuba. We're talking about being meshabed his nechassim to the first ksuba. The lashon of the Nebuk Yosef is avaloi hayu nechassim klal ksubasa tiknu chacham sheishtabdu nichse hayavam liksubasa kadei shloi teikal beinav loi tzia. Clearly, he means al derech Tosfos in this nekuda that we're talking about being meshabed his nechassim to the first ksuba and not talking about writing his own ksuba. Now move on to Amud Beis. The Gemara halfway down the Omer quotes a Mishnah in Ksubis, Mitzvahs Yibam Koidemes LaMitzvahs Chalitza Bar Yishena Shayu Mechavnim L'Shem Mitzvah. Achsho She'en Miskavnim L'Shem Mitzvah Omer Mitzvahs Chalitza Koidemes LaMitzvahs Yibam. Then the Gemara quotes B'Shem Rav Omer Rav Ein Koifin. Now there's a Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos had to translate what does Rav mean Ein Koifin. Rashi says this is referring to when people were no longer Mechavnim L'Shem Mitzvah. And at that point they said mitzvahs chalitza kedemes l'mitzvahs yibum. Still Rashi says if both the Yavam and the Yavama want to do yibum, then we don't force them to do chalitza, we allow them to do yibum. And Rashi continues over there, however he says, if the Yavam wants to do yibum, and the Yavama does not, she wants chalitza, and she gives us some excuse why she does not want yibum, so the chatchila would try to convince the Yavam that he should do chalitza. Rashi says we could be mad to him, we could deceive him. If that still doesn't work, then Rashi says we could force him to do chalitza. And Rashi brings a number of rayas to this, that for any excuse that she gives, we force him to do chalitza. Tosfos over here on Dibur Maschal Omar Rav, B'Shem Rabbeinu Tam, he argues on two points. Firstly, Rabbeinu Tam understands that which Rav says, Ein Kaifin, is not referring to, like Rashi says, after the point when people were no longer mechavin l'shem mitzvah. Rather, it's referring to the point when people originally were mechavin l'shem mitzvah. And there the din was that lechatchila it's better to do yibum. Still the Gemara says, Rav says, Ein Koifin, we don't force him to do yibum. If they want, they could do chalitza. The Karnoira over here is bothered by, what is the havamina? Why would one think that we could force him to do yibum? It's mefurish in the pasuk, Gemlo Yachbe Yisrael Ish. The Torah says mefurish that if he does not want to do yibum, then he has an option of chalitza. What's the havamina? The Karnoira does not have a teretz to this kasha. But Al-Kopanim, this is the shita of Rabbeinu Tam, that Rav is referring to the point in time when mitzvahs yibum was kedemes, still we did not force them to do yibum. And the Mashal explains that the Rabbeinu Tam means to argue on Rashi, and Rabbeinu Tam holds that after eventually when we said mitzvahs chalitza kedemes l'mitzvahs yibum, then the din would be that we are kaifin. We do force them to do chalitza. If they want to do yibum, since we believe that they're not mechavin l'shem mitzvah, then we force them to do chalitza, we don't let them do yibum. And the second point that Rabbeinu Tam argues on Rashi is that Rashi said that if the Yavam wants to do Yibum and the Yavama does not, then we force him to do Chalitza. Rabbeinu Tam argues, he answers the rayas that Rashi brings, and he says that the din is, we cannot force the Yavam to do Chalitza if he does not want to. If he wants to do Yibum and she does not want to, we can't force him to do Chalitza. Only in specific cases, Tosfos says, like for example, cases where he's a Mukas Shrin or he's a Burski. These are types of things that even if they were married already, we could force the husband to divorce her if she says she can't live with him. So in these cases also, if she does not want to do Yibam, we force him to do Chalitza. But in other cases, when there's no good excuse, there Rabbeinu Tam says that we will not force him to do Chalitza if he wants to do Yibam. And the Mashal understands, B'das Rabbeinu Tam, that even after the point in time when people were not Mechavin L'Shem Mitzvah, and Mitzvah's Chalitza Kaidemus L'Mitzvah's Yibam, then even if they both want to do Yibam, then Rabbeinu Tam holds, Kaifin, we're forcing them to do chalitza. However, the Maharsha says that koifin means bimili. That just means we try to convince them to do chalitza, and we convince them out of doing yibam, but we don't force them actually to do chalitza. And Rabbeinu Tam holds, even in the case when she wants chalitza and he wants yibam, even there we won't force him to do chalitza unless she has a good excuse, then we will force him. Now, but that's Rashi, like we mentioned, Rashi holds that if she wants chalitza, even if he wants yibam, we force him to do chalitza, as long as she gives some slight excuse why she doesn't want yibam. The Achronim point out that the rayas that Rashi brings are really only rayas that tell us that she doesn't have to do yibam if she doesn't want to. Like, for example, the Gemara in Daf Samach Dawid, the Gemara says, "Kais v'nigeres mered al arusa, v'ein kais v'nigeres mered al shemeres yavam." That really is just a raya that tells us that she doesn't have to do yibam if she doesn't want to. The Gemara in Ksubis Ayin Zayin as well, the Rashi brings, "Maisa b'tzaydoin b'bursi," that she was married to one brother who was a bursi, and now she falls to yibam to a second brother who is a bursi. So the Gemara says that she could say, even though your brother who is a bursi I was able to live with, but you I'm not able to live with, that's really also just a raya that she doesn't have to do yibam if she doesn't want to. But l'chayr, the Achronim say, how does Rashi know that if she doesn't want to do yibam, then we force him to do chalitza? And economy, we cannot force her to do yibam, but what schus do we have to force him to do chalitza? What right do we have to make him do chalitza if he's not interested in doing so? And there are basically two mahalchim in the Achronim. The Magia on the Ritva discusses at length. He brings a number of Achronim who discuss what exactly is the schus to force him to do chalitza. And he quotes the Netziv. The Netziv understands it's midin kaifin al ha-mitzvis. Bezin has a right to force someone to do a mitzvah if he doesn't want to. And here the Yavim has a mitzvah to do either yibam or chalitza. And since she doesn't want yibam, and the din is that we can't force her if she doesn't want to do so, so then the only option he's left with is chalitza. So Bezin has a right to force him to do chalitza with his din of kaifin al ha-mitzvis. Others, the Chaznish example in Simon Kufchav Beis, Sifkot and Gimel, he understands B'das Rashi that since she's giving an excuse why she doesn't want to do Yibam, if we're not going to force the Yavam to do Chalitza, that's pretty much the same as forcing her to do Yibam. It's not an option to leave her as an Aguna. She has the Schus to have some husband to take care of her, to support her. And since we accept her Taina that she doesn't want to do Yibam with this Yavam, then by definition, included in that is that we force him to do chalitza, because otherwise it's considered that we're forcing her to do yibam, because leaving her without any husband, that's not an option. Now further down the Omer, the Gemara brings Machloikis Abishol and the Chachomim. Abishol is Mechadish, Akinis es Yivimte l'shem Noi, u'l'shem Ishus, u'l'shem Dover Achar, ki'ilu pegea be'erva. V'korav ani be'enai liyois havla ad mamzer. The Chachom argue, and they say, Yavam yavam yaleam mikol makoim, even if he's not mechavan l'shem mitzvah, that's also fine. And Behemshech, the Gemara explains, the lashon of the Braisa, Yavama Yovei Aleha Mitzvah, means that Bitchila, originally, before this woman was married to his brother, she was Bilchal Heter, he was allowed to marry her for any reason, l'shem Noi, l'shem Ishus, that's fine. Nesra, once she becomes Aser, she was married to this person's brother, so Chozer V'Hutra, when she becomes Mutter again, Yochol Tachzer L'Teiru HaRisha, and one might think she goes back to her original Heter, meaning that it's Mutter once again for him to marry her for any reason. Tamalemer Yevama Yoav Elea L'Mitzvah. No, now the Pasuk says that the only Heter he has to marry her is if he does it L'Shem Mitzvah. Rashi explains that Joshua really is from the word Yevama Yoav Elea V'Yibma. V'Yibma means that when he does Yibma, he should do it L'Shem Yibum, meaning L'Shem Mitzvah. That's the only Heter that he has. Once she was Nesra v'Chozer v'Hutra, now the only heter he has is L'Shem Mitzvah. Now we'll see, there's a very important machlokes rishonim in the sugya, whether Abishol is really a din d'Oraisa or only a din d'Rabbanan. The Ramban over here proves that the halacha is not like Abishol, unlike that which Tosfos over here brings b'Shem Rabbeinu Tam in the end of Dibur Maschil Amar Rav. Rabbeinu Tam paskin like Abishol, and the Ramban proves that we paskin l'maisa not like Abishol. He says the Mishnah in the beginning of the sixth parak says, meaning if he was boil the Yavama, b'shegig, meaning he didn't even realize that she was the Yavama, he thought that she was his wife, or he thought that she was someone else, or if he did it be a b'mezid, Rashi says l'shem znus, and not l'shem mitzvah, even if he did it b'aynis, he didn't even want to do the bia, it was by force. In all these cases, the Mishnah says the din is that the Yibam works, he's kind of her. And the Gemara dashens this from the pasuk, Yavama yovei aleha. The Pashto Dekra means, in all cases, anytime he was Baalel, the Yibam works. And the Ramban says, surely this does not fit with the Shita of Abishol. According to Abishol, that Yavama Yovelel means he has to be Baalel, L'Shem Mitzvah, then surely if he was ba'ala b'shegig or b'mezir or b'ainis, which Abba Shaul says about this bia, that it's kipagea b'ervo, and it's karva dover shavlan mamzer, surely this bia would not work to be kind of her, the Torah would not say that this bia works. Therefore the Ramban concludes that we hold not like Abba Shaul, because the stomach of the Gemara in many places brings this Mishnah, brings this drasha, that Yibim works even b'shegig and even b'ainis, and since that can't fit with Abba Shaul, then obviously we don't paskin l'maisa like Abba Shaul. Akoponim, we see that the shita of the Ramban is that Abba Shaul is a real din d'iraisa, it's not only an asmachto, it's learned from a pasuk. Now according to the Ramban, that this is mamash a din d'iraisa, so why does Abba Shaul only say ki'ilu pagea be'ervo, and korv ha'dover liyos ha'vlan mamzer, l'chayrat should be mamash in isra ishas ach, and the vlad should be a mamzer, why does he use a lashon of sofik? And in a number of Sfarim, contemporary Sfarim, they explain that the suffix of Abba Shaul is that Einichanami, maybe he's not being Mekayim a mitzvah over here. Yivam Yavah Aleho has to be L'shem mitzvah, otherwise he's not Mekayim the mitzvah and he's not Kainah her. But nevertheless, it could still be that he's not over the Isser Erva, because L'maisa, this Eishasach has a heter. If he would want to do Yibam properly, there would be a heter to the Isser Eishasach. Just like we find, for example, by a Katon. Even though a bias katon is not a mitzvah yibum, and it doesn't work to be kind to her, but nevertheless he's not over the isser of eishes ach, since there is a zika to this katon, so that her isser eishes ach has a heter, so even though with this bia there was no kiyum mitzvah, but he's also not over the isser of eishes ach. One could take a look at the Keren Ora, he uses a similar svara to explain that even according to the Ramban, that Abba Shaul is a din d'iraisa, but l'maisa he's still not over the isser erva of eishes ach. So that's the shita of the Ramban, that Abba Shaul is a din d'iraisa. On the other hand, we have the shita of the Nemuka Yosef, in the beginning of the sixth parak, on that Mishnah, Habal Yevimtoi Bein B'Shegig Bein B'Mezid, he says that even though the Mishnah says, if one is Baal Yevimtoi Bein B'Mezid, meaning L'Shem Znus, not L'Shem Mitzvah, so the Kinyan works, but the Nemuka Yosef says that L'Chatchila, one definitely has to be Baal L'Shem Mitzvah, like Abba Shaul, and he says that Abba Shaul is not a steer to the Mishnah, because Abba Shaul is only a din d'Rabbanan L'Chatchila. And the Mishnah is saying that b'diyeved, if he did such a bia, then the kinyan works. And even though the Nebuk Yosef says that Rabbanon and Asuga argue on Abba Shaul, that would come out that according to the Rabbanon, even the chatchila one could be boil l'shem znos, not l'shem mitzvah. And that the Nebuk Yosef says no, even according to the Rabbanon, l'chatchila he has to be boil l'shem mitzvah. And the whole difference between the Rabbanon and Abba Shaul in our Gemara is whether you say that if he's boil l'shem noy or l'shem ishus, it's ki'ilu pagea be'erva. Abba Shaul holds his ki'ilu pagea be'erva, and the Rabbanon don't hold of that. Hakaponim, according to the Nemuk Yosef, surely we understand what it means ki'ilu pagea be'erva, because the whole din is din d'Rabbanon, and really he is mekayim the mitzvah of Yibam, and he is kainah her b'di'eved, therefore he's definitely not over the isser of Eishes Ach.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a daf or masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.